This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Three political dynasties collide over the Senate seat in New York. Governor Blagojevich might have tried to sell another Senate seat, but he says he plans to keep his own. Yet another opened today in Colorado, and the glacial count goes on and on and on in Minnesota. It's Wednesday, and time once again for our weekly visit with the political junkie.
There you go again.
When I hear your new ideas, I'm reminded of that ad. Where's the beef?
Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
I love those hockey moms. You know, they say the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Lipstick.
But I'm the decider.
On Wednesdays, NPR political editor Ken Rudin joins us to talk politics, and as usual, there's a lot to talk about. Earlier this week, the Electoral College carried out its constitutional duty, and by Friday, we may know which of the Senate candidates in Minnesota will file suit. Later, we'll focus on the intersection of the Clinton, Kennedy, and Cuomo dynasties in New York, and we begin first, as always, with a trivia question. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us here in Studio 3A. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Neil. Well, we'll be talking about Caroline Kennedy. So the question is, who's the first daughter, this may be an easy question, but who's the first daughter of a president to seek public office?
So if you think you know the identity of the first daughter of a president to seek political office in this country, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And you can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation, where you'll also find Ken Rudin's blog, The Political Junkie. Anyway.
Did I tell you I write a blog?
Write a blog. What's it called?
Political Junkie.
Political? That's funny. Never mind. We'll get back to that. Anyway, Ken, the drama goes on and on in Illinois. Blagojevich says he's going to hold on to a seat and may actually talk to the people of Illinois as soon as today.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, there's been rumors about Lisa Madigan even mentioned the attorney general, mentioned on Meet the Press last Sunday that there are rumors that he might resign. But obviously that is not happening. And that's why the state legislature voted to convene an impeachment panel yesterday. They voted yesterday unanimously. They had some kind of meetings and they're meeting again today. And the lawyers for Blagojevich are there and they're trying to say, well, this state legislator should not be part of the impeachment panel because he or she has already come out, decided on impeachment or made comments about impeachment. But everything that the Blagojevich lawyer tried to do has been ruled out of order. It's just interesting what's going to happen because ultimately what the Republicans clearly like and what Dick Durbin, the Democratic senator, mentioned early, although he's not talking about it anymore, is that they would love to take the power of a special election, take the power of appointing a next senator to replace Barack Obama away from the governor and have a special election. Of course, the Republicans would like that because then they would have a chance of winning it, whereas by appointment, since every official in Illinois is a Democrat, they would not have that opportunity. That seems to be drifting away from the Republicans' grasp. Democrats are talking less and less about a special election, and it looks like that whoever it'll be, perhaps Pat Quinn, the lieutenant governor, if Blagojevich is removed, he may make that appointment.
In the meantime, the Republicans are running ads blasting the Democrats for refusing to abide by democracy and giving the voters of Illinois the chance of electing the next next senator.
Well, I mean, the law in Illinois, as in 33 other states, gives the governor the right to appoint a successor in a Senate vacancy. But given the complete lack of ethics going on, the lack of trust among voters of what's going on in Illinois, perhaps a special election would not be the worst thing in the world. But of course, if the Republicans had a choice, they would absolutely choose that over Pat Quinn having that decision.
And then there is a new Senate seat that's open when earlier today President-elect Barack Obama announced that Ken Salazar, the Democratic senator from Colorado, he hopes will serve as the next Secretary of the Interior.
Right. And again, it's another situation, not where somebody's buying a Senate seat, but you do have a Democratic governor in Colorado, Bill Ritter, who will make an appointment. Among those who are up for the appointment, assuming Salazar is confirmed as Interior Secretary, is his brother, John Salazar, a congressman. Also, John Hickenlooper, the mayor of Denver, is looking at the seat. Ed Perlmutter, another congressman. Federico Pena, a former Clinton administration cabinet official and former Denver mayor, is also in the consideration. Again, it will be a Democratic replacement for Salazar, but again, they're looking for somebody who can hold the seat in 2010, somebody who could raise a lot of money for the Democrats.
Well, let's see if we can get some people in on the conversation who think they know the answer to our trivia question this week, the identity of the first presidential daughter to run for public office. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to weigh in. Email talk@npr.org. Brian on the line from Cleveland, Ohio.
Good morning or good afternoon. My guess is Teddy Roosevelt.
And which president is he the daughter of?
Well, Alice Roosevelt Longworth has never run for office. She's a daughter who was very public and out there, but she never ran for office.
Nice try, Brian. Thanks very much. Let's see if we can go to, this is Sandy. Sandy with us from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
My guess is Margaret Truman.
Wrote a lot of books, but...
And played the piano badly, if we remember those reviews, but no, never ran for office.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sandy. Let's try, this is Thea. Thea in Wright, Wyoming.
Hi.
Hi, Thea.
Carolyn Kennedy?
I never even thought of her. Well, actually, the question should have been, to be more specific, prior to Caroline Kennedy, who was the first... But Caroline Kennedy may be running for the Senate this year, and she expressed her interest today in upstate New York. But who was the first presidential daughter to run for office? So somebody before Caroline.
All right, Thea, thanks for the answer. Let's see if we can go now to Eric. Eric with us from Minneapolis.
Kathleen Townsend, Kennedy Townsend.
Well, Kathleen Kennedy Townsend did run for Congress and Congress from Maryland and governor of Maryland, but she's the daughter of Robert Kennedy, who was not president. She was a niece of a president, but not the daughter of a president.
Thanks, Eric. Eric didn't even want to say goodbye. So disappointed. So was Ms. Townsend, who didn't win that election.
Right, neither one.
Neither one.
But she was elected lieutenant governor.
She was elected lieutenant governor. Let's see if we can go now to Monica. Monica in Cumberland City, New Jersey.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I believe it was former President Ford's daughter.
Well, Susan Ford never ran for anything. She never ran for anything. Neither did his sons run for anything. We're talking about in California, but
no, I don't think she ran for anything.
No, Susan Ford. No.
All right. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
And let's see if we can go to Robert. Robert, with us from Tuscaloosa in Alabama.
I'm going to say Reagan's oldest daughter. Perhaps her name was Maureen.
That is the correct answer.
Ding, 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 ding.
Maureen Reagan ran for the U.S. Senate from California in 1982 Republican primary, lost to Pete Wilson. The first, there have been sons of presidents. FDR's sons have run for office, several of them, actually. Franklin
John Diego. Adams' son ran for office.
Right, and he was also son of FDR. But Maureen Reagan, the first daughter of a president to run for office.
Well,
correct answer.
Robert, you have to share this week's no prize. I just got this email from Sandra in Denver, Colorado, who also wrote, I believe it was Maureen Reagan in California. So
you'll have to fight over splitting.
You'll have to
award.
split. You get a half a no prize.
Right.
I'm not sure how much that is worth. Half as much as the whole no prize. Anyway, thanks very much for that. And as we move ahead, there is still one race undecided from the November 4th election, and it seems like it's going to be undecided for quite some time, the Minnesota Senate race.
Right. The five-member state canvassing board began their actions yesterday. They hope to finish by Friday, and they may very well finish by Friday. Yesterday, the board took up challenges made by the Franken campaign. Al Franken, the Democratic nominee for the Senate seat held by Republican Norm Coleman. Norm Coleman began the process this week, up 188 votes. They went over several hundred ballots yesterday. Coleman gained 98. Franken gained 22. 41 ballots were thrown out completely. So right now, as of now, Norm Coleman is up 264 votes. If there's ever been an argument about every vote counts, Minnesota is a perfect example. But now today and the rest of the week, I believe they're going to start looking at some of the ballots that Coleman has objected to, and that could very well help Al Franken. So anyway, the state canvassing board hopes to finish its looking at it by Friday. But then whoever loses could certainly appeal to the Minnesota Supreme Court, which...
Both of them are less and less appealing to the voters of Minnesota. But.
Exactly. And, of course, ultimately, the U.S. Senate could very well decide this altogether, even if the courts, what the courts decide. And that has happened before as recently as 1975 in New Hampshire, when they threw out the election between Louis Wyman and John Durkin in New Hampshire. And ultimately, they had a do-over, a second election.
So the Senate can vote to seat whomever it likes?
Exactly. Same thing. Look, Blagojevich Blagojevich always could threaten to send an appointee to the Senate. And
even
then,
himself.
Exactly. Lots of luck. And Harry Reid has said, well, we don't have to approve of that at all.
One other big development this week, and we always forget this, except in years like, 2000. But the Electoral College met this week and formally cast ballots for President and Vice President of the United States. And we tend to forget these are the people who actually elect the president.
We keep thinking that what happened on November 4th was the election of the president, but actually on November 4th, we elect electors who vote this, I think the first Monday, the second Monday in December, whatever it is.
As soon as they can get to by horseback to Washington.
The Electoral College, right. Now, of course, there was no controversy, but you remember in 2000, George W. Bush defeated Al Gore in the Electoral College by only 4 or 5 electoral votes, one less than they should have because one elector from D.C. decided to abstain and protest that D.C. was not a state. So, I mean, theoretically, had this been a close election, at least in the Electoral College, the controversy would have existed or continued. There was no controversy this time. Barack Obama had the largest number of electoral votes since Bill Clinton in 1996, and also the highest clear majority of the vote, first time for a Democrat, the highest since Lyndon Johnson in 64.
And every time this comes around, people say, Wait. This is outmoded. This is an old system. This is completely beyond the democratic principles that we've established. Is there ever going to be a movement to have a constitutional amendment, which is what it would take to overturn the Electoral College, to make it a federal vote, and whoever wins the most votes in the country would win the presidency?
Well, that's part of what many states, Maryland, I think, is among the 3 or 4 states have already passed that. They have passed a vote that hoping to get other states to follow as well, who whoever gets the majority of the votes in the country, those are where the electoral votes will go. But on a constitutional amendment, the small states will never agree to that. The reason we keep talking about West Virginia and New Mexico and Colorado and New Hampshire in the presidential elections is because they are closely won states. If it was just about the popular vote, all the candidates would campaign in Texas and Florida and New York and California and ignore the small states.
Ken Rudin will stay with us, our political junkie, who's with us every Wednesday. When we come back, we'll focus on the clash of the dynasties in the state of New York as the Cuomos, Clintons, and the Kennedys square off over the U.S. Senate seat to be vacated by Hillary Rodham Clinton, should she be confirmed as Secretary of State. Is this any way to pick a senator? Stay with us. It's the Political Junkie on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. A bit later in the program, we'll look at what the Fed's shock and awe rate cut means for you. But right now, we're talking with Ken Rudin, our political junkie. And for the rest of this segment, we focus on Caroline Kennedy, the daughter of the late President John F. Kennedy, niece of Senator Ted Kennedy and the late Senator Robert Kennedy. She's in upstate New York today to meet with politicians in Syracuse, Rochester, and Buffalo. After weeks of rumors and reports, she now says publicly she hopes to replace Hillary Clinton in the United States Senate, should Clinton be approved as Secretary of State. She's already met with the man who will make that decision, Governor David Patterson. Her backers point to her long record of public service, to that famous name, and to the kind of connections that would have let her raise the estimated $70 million it might cost to run for the seat, not just in 2010, but under the vagaries of New York law, again for the Senate 2 years later. Critics point out she's shown no interest in the rough and tumble of politics up till now, and that she's never run for any political office before, and that we know next to nothing about her position on the issues. Well, is this any way to pick a senator? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. Joining us now by phone from White Plains, New York, is Democratic Congresswoman Nita Lowey. She represents New York's 18th district back in 1999 and 2000. She gave some thought to running for the Senate seat that Daniel Patrick Moynihan vacated. Ultimately, Hillary Clinton filled that position. And Congresswoman Lowey, nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
And your name came up initially when the Clinton appointment to Secretary of State became public, and you took your name out of the running.
Well, I made it very clear, and I was very flattered and honored that the senators called me, many of my colleagues called me, but it makes no sense for me to give up my seniority in the House. I am one of the 12 cardinals of an appropriations subcommittee, In fact, my committee controls the budget of the Department of State, so I look forward to working with Hillary Clinton in her new role as the Secretary of State. Frankly, 10 years ago, when the job became available, I did travel around the state, and even at that time, I made a decision that I liked the House, I wanted to stay here and build up seniority, and I think I made the right decision then, and I certainly am making the right decision now.
You're one of the 12 cardinals. Do you get to wear a red hat?
Oh, is that Ken Rudin? That sounds like you're... How do you like that? A Jewish woman growing up in the Bronx as a cardinal in the Congress of the United States. What do you think of that?
Ken, I take it that Congresswoman Lowy knows you pretty well.
She's one of my favorite people in Congress. And Congresswoman Lowy, thank you for being on the show. A question. First of all, you were extremely gracious in 1999 when Hillary Clinton decided she was a New Yorker and ran for the Senate, and I think I've never heard a quote from you expressing any bitterness or unhappiness or anything, and I think, to your credit, I think that was excellent. But one question I want to ask you, though, is what is Caroline Kennedy, similar to what Hillary Clinton faced in 1999 and 2000, what does Caroline Kennedy have to do to win the support of New Yorkers?
Well, more importantly, she has to win the support. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I was just going to say she also has to win the support of David Paterson, which is probably more important.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Most importantly, it's a decision that David Paterson is going to make. I don't know Carolyn Kennedy. I had an opportunity to meet with her once when she came up to White Plains to talk at an Obama event. And frankly, she didn't seem very comfortable doing that. When she called me this week, I told her that I'd be delighted to sit down and talk with her. And my main advice is she has to get to know the state. She has to get to understand the interests of upstate, the agricultural interests. She has to understand what economic development means upstate, downstate, the suburbs, the cities, the inner cities. This is an incredibly wonderful state, but it's very diverse, and she's going to have to do a lot of listening and make sure that she feels comfortable in a position of being a public servant. She has to be able to talk to every veterans group, every hospital group. She has to talk to the union. She has to talk to the business people. She has to be just as comfortable in the barroom as she is in the boardroom. So it's going to take a lot of work, and people are going to have to build confidence in her, and she has to be sure that she's comfortable in that role.
We see the kind of tumult that's going on at the moment in the state of Illinois, where, again, another state that has a law where the governor appoints the successor should a Senate seat be vacated. Given what we're seeing there, do you think it's time for New York to change its law? I mean, obviously, we're going to have to live with this for this year, but overall, to change the law so if this comes up again, there should be a special election and the people of the state and not just the governor, who's, of course, was elected lieutenant governor. He's never been elected governor either.
Well, there'll be an election in 2 years and then again in 4 years, and Governor Paterson is perfectly qualified to appoint, and I know from my discussions with him, he's giving it a lot of serious thought. There are many very qualified, experienced people, both in the House of Representatives and outside the House of Representatives, who want the job and can do the job well, and he's going to have to evaluate each of them and make a decision, and I think he's capable of making it.
Let's see if we get a caller on the line. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. We're talking about the senatorial succession in New York with political junkie Ken Rudin and Representative Nita Lowy. And let's go to Teresa. Teresa with us on the line from Buffalo, New York.
Yes. I'm a lifelong Democrat. And while I feel sorry for Ms. Kennedy's personal circumstances, I would not be a supporter of hers. I'd like a nice upstater like Brian Higgins, someone who can relate to our problems in upstate New York. And I'd like to see if the panel would address that issue.
Ken Rudin?
Well, Brian Higgins is a congressman from Buffalo. Also, the mayor of Buffalo, Byron Brown, has also been mentioned. Politically, David Paterson, given the fact that Paterson is running for re-election or election in 2010, Chuck Schumer is on the ballot for 2010, who's from Brooklyn, Democrats would love an upstate presence. Now that Caroline Kennedy has lived on the east side, I think, at Park Avenue for the last 20, 30 years, or most of her life anyway, and so the Democrats would desperately need an upstate presence. But again, Paterson would probably want somebody who could raise the money. You need to raise a lot of money to run in New York, and I think that's part of the consideration.
Nita Lowy, wonder if you'd weigh in on this.
Sure. Well, Hillary Clinton was not from upstate New York, and she became a beloved, very well-informed advocate for the farmers. I know about her agricultural day on the Hill, and she could tell you about the cheeses and the apples and the wines, and you talk to every farmer who came, and they had enormous respect for her. I mean, you have Andrew Cuomo, who is not from upstate New York. He's very skilled. He could be an excellent Senate candidate. You have Kirsten Gillibrand. You have people like Steve Israel. So I think there are a lot of people from upstate and downstate that do qualify. And again, Carolyn Kennedy is going to travel around the state, and we'll see if she can build confidence in her candidacy.
In the meantime, Teresa, we will all vouch for the quality of Herkimer County cheese. Thanks very much for the phone call. Let's see if we can go to Mary. And Mary's calling us from Syracuse, New York, which was, I think, Caroline Kennedy's first stop on her tour upstate today.
Yes, it is. I just want to say that I, too, am a lifelong Democrat, have worked heavily with the Democratic Party. And I don't know, but words of, like, entitlement and, you know, elitist come to mind when someone like Caroline Kennedy Schlossberg has not even managed to make her way across the state up until now. And it just leaves me feeling a little bit uncomfortable.
And that is something, Congresswoman Lowy, that has been mentioned, and not just by Mary, the idea that somehow this is being treated as a legacy, you know, that of course, Senator Clinton was accused of much the same thing when she moved to New York and ran for the seat. Of course, Robert Kennedy was accused of being a carpetbagger from Massachusetts when he moved to New York to run for the seat that would now be run, his niece would be occupying should she get the appointment. And Andrew Cuomo, another of those candidates, is son of the former governor, and of course married at one time to Caroline Kennedy's cousin.
Yeah. Well, I think the caller makes some very legitimate points, and that's why I said at the outset that Caroline Kennedy has a lot of work to do. She's been a private person. She's not comfortable public speaking. Most of us really don't know her at all, and so as she travels around the state, she's going to have to go to the boardrooms, the bar rooms, the corner delis, the supermarkets, the veterans groups, the housing groups, the union groups, and convince people that she can be an effective advocate. And we'll see what happens. I don't think David Paterson, in fact, I know that he's not going to appoint anybody until Hillary Clinton is confirmed, which probably won't happen until early February. So she has a month to prove to the voters that she can represent herself and represent them effectively. And all the other candidates who want to be the senator, and it is a great honor, will have to prove themselves as well. But I'm delighted, Ken, that I'm going to be working on the issues during that time, representing the voters of the 18th Congressional District and New York State and the country on the committees on which I serve. So I'm glad I'm not part of the mix.
Ken?
Congresswoman, how does it feel to be one of three Democrats in the entire state not running for the seat?
I love what I do. And not to have to raise $20 or $40 million and to work on the issues and fight for the people of New York State is a great privilege, and I love what I'm doing.
One thing about what Mary just said, Mary from Syracuse, about entitlement and dynasties, there was this letter to the editor in the New York Times today. It said, it is amusing that Andrew Cuomo, who owes his own whole career to his dad, may not get the Senate seat of Hillary Rodham Clinton, who owes her whole career to her husband, because David Paterson, who owes his whole career to his dad, may give it to Caroline Kennedy, who owes her whole career to her dad. A lot of dynasties there.
Who said that, Ken?
A letter to the editor of the New York Times today.
Uh-huh.
Ken didn't write it.
I think in the end, name identification can help getting you up at bat, but then you have to prove that you can hit a home run. How do you like that? I never use baseball analogies, but I think that Caroline Kennedy is going to have to do a lot of moving around the state, talking to real people, and convincing them that she can be an effective advocate.
We're talking with Congresswoman Nita Lowey, a Democrat from New York, represents the 18th District in Rockland and Westchester counties. Of course, political junkie Ken Rudin is with us here, as he is every Wednesday. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Ann on the line. And Andy's with us from Sandy, Utah.
Hi. I happen to be a registered Republican, but I've voted for a number of Democrats in my day if I felt that they were more qualified. And it really kind of is disappointing to me when I hear even people of the Democratic Party say that she's, one person said dynasty and unqualified, or I can't remember what the words, I remember the word dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, how much has she learned just by association with the political people that her family has been with all of her life? I mean, you've heard of learning at her mother's knee or her father's knee, the Thanksgiving Day tables that she's been around all her life, all the things that she's learned just by being around the people that she's been around. She's going to have to learn a lot. She's going to have to prove herself, but by people just counting her off before she's even gotten out there and said anything or done anything, I think that's wrong. And the fact that they're just cutting her off right at the beginning, I think that's wrong.
Ann makes a good point, though. People do object that she has yet to pay her dues by running in any political election previously, as all these other candidates, all these other people we've mentioned has. But Congresswoman Lowey, she's worked long and hard and well behind the scenes for the schools in the city of New York, and also, of course, for her father's library and many other causes.
Well, there are many senators who had careers outside of politics, either as lawyers or as doctors. Some are effective, some are not so effective. So, as I said, I think what's really key here is she has to go to all the groups and talk to all the diverse populations. She has to go to the delis and the grocery stores and convince people that she is going to fight as hard as she can. We're living in tough times. People are really suffering. Unemployment is going up. More people are ending up on Medicaid than ever before. And she has to convince people that she's going to be a tough fighter for an economic recovery package, make sure that New York will be part of it. And she has to convince people that she really understands their lives. As I said before, the barroom, the boardroom, the supermarket, the upper-income areas, the lower-income areas. This is a wonderful, diverse state, and she's going to have to do an important listening tour and a talking tour to make sure that she convinces people that she understands them and has the power and the authority to really fight for them. Until now, she's had a quiet presence, although, as I understand it, she's been effective in raising money for the New York City schools. But it takes a lot to be a senator, and she has a lot of work to do.
Congresswoman Lowey, thank you so much for your time today, and good luck to you.
It is always a pleasure to be with you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye. And I'd like to thank our caller, Ann, from Sandy, Utah, as well. But Ken Rudin, she's right. This is hardly the first dynastic follower in the United States Senate.
Well, first of all, let's start for the guy who was elected president in 2000, George W. Bush. There was a guy by the name of George Bush, who was president before that. In the Senate right now in Arkansas, Mark Pryor is a senator. His father, David Pryor, was senator. In Colorado, we just elected Mark Udall to the Senate.
And Tom Udall
in New Mexico, of course, sons of a congressman. In Connecticut, Chris Dodd, his father was a senator. In Indiana, Evan Bayh, his father, Birch Bayh. In Louisiana, Mary Landrieu, her father was the mayor of New Orleans. New Hampshire, the two current senators, Judd Gregg and John Sununu. Their fathers both were governors. Pennsylvania, Bob Casey, his father was governor. And Ann was just calling from Utah. Bob Bennett is a senator from Utah. His father, as you well remember, Neil, was Wallace Bennett in the 60s.
And we have this email from Jerome in Bakersfield, California. Ken Rudin earlier referred to Margaret Truman as a pianist. No, Ms. Truman aspired to be a concert singer, not a pianist. Her father occasionally played the piano in public. Ken occasionally tries to tell jokes in public, but he makes a living here as our political editor.
That's because there's too much violins on TV.
You get my point. He's the political editor here at NPR, no matter what he says, and we're going to keep him here as the political junkie. He'll join us again next week on Wednesday. As always, Ken, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Neil.
Read his blog. It's at npr.org. It's something about political junkies. Up next, CD rates may drop. Mortgages might be easier to get. What the Fed's dramatic rate cut could mean to you. Stick around. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.